すればや本なもバグバテバスではや本なもバグバテバスではや धारणा प्रोजित कायतव अत्र परमाने नम सननाम सतम वेदम अश्रम प्रवाष्टु शीलदम तपथयोन्मूलनम श्रीमद भागवते महामुनि कृते किं वाय पद ईश्वर सद्दा विद्या विद्यते अत्र कृति शिष्य वित्तक्षणात् कामाय सजनाय च पंचधा विभजन विधम इहमुत्र च मोदते धर्मयाया शशीर्ताया कामाय सजनाय च पंचधा विभजन विधम इहमुत्र च मोदते धर्मयाया शशीर्ताया कामाय सजनाय च पंचधा विभजन विधम इहमुत्र च मोदते for one's reputation, Taya for increasing one's opulence, Kamaya for increasing one's sense gratification, Svajanaya cha and for maintaining one's family members, Panchadha for these five different objects. Vibhajan, dividing. Vitam is accumulated wealth. Iha, in this world. Amutra, the next world. Cha, and Modete, he enjoys. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Esi Bhakti Vedanta Shami Shira Prabhupada. Shira Prabhupada again. Therefore, one who is in full knowledge should divide his accumulated wealth in five parts. For religion, for reputation, for opulence, for sense gratification, and for the maintenance of his family. Such a person is happy in this world and in the next. Purport. The Shastras enjoin that if one has money, one should divide all that he has accumulated into five divisions. One part for religion, one part for reputation, one part for opulence, one part for sense gratification, and one part to maintain the members of his family. At present, however, because people are bereft of all knowledge, they spend all their money for the satisfaction of their family. True, the wisdom he taught us by his own example, by using 50% of his accumulated wealth for Krishna, 25% for his own self, and 25% for the members of his family. One's main purpose should be to advance in Krishna consciousness. This will include dharma, artha, and karma. However, because one's family members expect some profit, one should also satisfy them by giving them a portion of one's accumulated wealth. This is a Shastric injunction. Srila Prabhupada ki. Mukam kardi vachalam angam langai degriyam jatkrapa tamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam vansha kalpa tribhishta kripa shende vaibacha patitanam pavane bhavoshnave do namo namaha. It's interesting if we take the verse, because as Chakravarti Thakur explains regarding the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesh Tanayo, that the most worshipable form of the Lord is the darling son of Nanda Maharaj, Vrajesh Tanayo, Tadhama Vrindavanam, his eternal abode is Vrindavan. Ramnakachit Upashana, what is the most pleasing type of worship? Braja Badu Bhagena Jakalpita, that which is performed by the residents of Vrindavan, that is the topmost worship. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless amal. It is the spotless and is the highest evidence. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Sri Prem Pumata Mahan. And the ultimate goal of life is awakening love of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam. Chakravarti Thakur explains that this is the opinion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam. This is the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of which there is nothing superior. Tatradaranaparaha. So it's very interesting if we consider that Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Pramanam, Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest evidence. And actually, if you examine the science of bhakti, we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inaugurated Puti Pavan Hedun Tava Avatar to deliver all of the fallen souls. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartham. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explains that the Shikshartham, the purpose of Mahaprabhu's appearance, is to teach Shikshartham. Shikshartham. Purpose of that, the purpose is teaching. Nija Bhakti Yoga, devotional service to Sri Krishna. He teaches that. However, actually, Mahaprabhu, he teaches the science of bhakti through Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as Prabhupada paraphrases, the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. Complete science. So the science of loving God. On occasion, people inquire from us that why you foreign people have taken to Krishna consciousness of Vaishnavism. Is there no religion in the foreign countries? There is religion in the foreign countries, undoubtedly. Just like on the US dollar, still today, you will see it printed, "In God We Trust." But further details are not provided apart from that. On the we trust God, but that's about as much training and as much information guidelines is given, but Rupa Goswami, in the science of devotional service as explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first of all, yesterday we were explaining in our Bhagavatam presentations how these five primary and seven secondary rasas, Mukhya Guna Rasa. Who has identified these five primary rasa? Shanta, Dasya, Vatsalya, Shakya, Madhurja. Who's identified these? And the seven secondary rasas, Adbhut, Chivalry, etc. Who has identified these? Who says five? Who says seven? You ever ask that question? Well, the answer is Srila Rupa Goswami. It's the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Therefore, he is called Rasa Acharya. He is the great scientific philosopher of loving God, of which there is no comparison to the depth of realization in terms of loving God that Srila Rupa Goswami has, the scientific analysis. He's analyzed. So where is the comparison in any other scripture, in any other parampara, in any other approach to God realization? Is such a detailed, analytical, scientific presentation given. There's seven different ways in which you can love God. Five of them are primary. They're the sahibhav, the primary relationships. And then the vicharibhavs, occasionally one may be influenced by the other. This is unfathomable scientific information on the science of God that is not available in any other scripture. So naturally, Jagai Shankirtana Prayayu Yajanti Hi Shumeda, intelligent people will take to the Sankirtan movement. They're induced because they see that this is such a tremendous science. Not only will they take to it, they will try to distribute Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement all over the world. So they're being inspired by the depth of these teachings. So for that reason, the foreign people all over the world are taking to Krishna consciousness because they're so thoroughly impressed by the science of loving God that Mahaprabhu has empowered Rupa Goswami to compose, to manifest. Hi Goshai Jabe Braja Koila Bash Radha Krishna Nitolila Korila Prakash. Mahaprabhu ordered the Goswamis, you go to Vrindavan, Braja Koila Bash, you remain in Vrindavan, Radha Krishna Nitolila Korila Prakash. And you reveal the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the science of cultivating and developing your love for Radha and Krishna. And in this way, Mahaprabhu, through his order, he empowered the Goswamis to perform this function. So, Mahaprabhu's teachings, if you study the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then you will find that actually there is a bibliography provided in the end of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If you get some time, you can glance at that bibliography. That shows all of the different references from which Srila Rupa Goswami gives his evidence to substantiate the science of loving God that he is explaining and presenting in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He gives all the Shastric evidences. So you can see various Puranas, various Upanishads, various Vedic literatures, some Shastras you've never heard of before, but the Goswamis, they were aware of these Shastras. Nana Shastra Vicharanoiko Nipuno Saddhama Shamstapako, because they were expert. Vipuno, they were very mature and very wise and very experienced, Vipuno, in Nana Shastra, in all of the different Shastras. They're very learned, very highly qualified, intellectuals, academics. They were fluent in multiple languages, the Goswamis. And therefore, from many, many Shastras, they were providing evidences to support the science of Bhakti as they were as he explains. Actually, we have to cultivate this style of presenting Krishna consciousness, as Krishna explains in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that sadhyabhyasanam chaiva vanmaya tapa uchite, that one has to purify one's speech, vanmaya tapa, the your charity for speech in the mode of goodness is Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva, regularly reciting the Shastra. So much so, Krishna is indicating that Swadhyaya Abhyas, one becomes habituated to contemplating on and reciting Shastra, and the words of the Shastra become one's own language. That's called Swadhyaya Abhyas. So one becomes habituated to referring to the Shastra. Just like if you glance at Srila Prabhupada's books, you just glance. You just flip through some writings of Srila Prabhupada. And on every page you'll see inundations of Shastric evidence. So Prabhupada, in the purport to that verse of the 17th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, text 14, he explains that if one is speaking in the spiritual circles, one immediately has to support what he is saying with Shastric evidence. Shastric evidence. Shishi Radha Rasa Bihari ki, Sita Ram Ratan Hanuman ki, Shishi Nita Gaur Sundar ki. However, we observe a phenomena in ISKCON that many creatures of Krishna consciousness very rarely refer to the Shastra. And no one complains. We think that's acceptable, to give the whole class, and the only verse that you mention is the verse that's written in the Bhagavatam in the beginning. This actually is not the appropriate standard according to the example of Srila Prabhupada, according to the example of the Goswamis, who are actually our role models. So you will find in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that the most predominantly quoted Shastra is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So actually this analysis that Rupa Goswami establishes, that there's five primary relationships, seven secondary relationships, this is all based upon the evidence we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you'll see, as he explains all of these different relationships, all of these different mellows of loving, he gives evidences from the personalities that we see in the Bhagavatam and how they are, just like how they are reciprocating with the Lord, just like we were discussing in Bhishma Devas and his chivalrous rasa. And in this way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the primary evidence of the Sankirtan movement. The primary evidence, the ultimate praman, is the Srimad Bhagavatam, to the Sankirtan movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are based on Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, you may notice, Prabhupada has written an introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, which precedes the first verse, the introduction. And what do you find in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam? You find Prabhupada's description of the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ideal preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you analyze Mahaprabhu's teachings as he's traveling in South India and in North India, then you'll also see that most frequently he is quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this gives evidence that the Bhagavatam is our highest evidence. Now considering that, what are we going to do today? Because today, if we take this verse on its own, it's saying that only one-fifth of your wealth should be used for Krishna consciousness. Pretty good deal, huh? If you actually look at these comments, these different items that are mentioned, okay? You got the verse there and the translation. This is like Sisi Radha Rasa Bihari Mandir, that when you come here, you become a resident, you immediately get Prapti City. Anything you desire can immediately appear. This is the opulence of Sisi Radha, part of Sisi Radha Rasa Bihari and their servants. Prapti City. Just like we sang the song and it appeared there. Okay, this is Prabhupada's temple. So you can see these things here. five parts. So number one is religion. Number two, reputation. Reputation, that's a material thing. Reputation, that's a sense gratification. Reputation, opulence. Opulence, what does that actually mean? Opulence, showing, enjoying. For sense, and then a whole separate category for sense gratification, just in case we're not exactly clear. So you've got reputation, opulence, sense gratification, and then maintenance of the family. So that's pretty much centered around the self and the misconception of the self. And Bhagavad Gita here says that that 70 or four parts of your four out of five should be spent on these things. And it's fascinating that we don't actually see this verse quoted as frequently as you would expect. So, how are we to understand this? If the Bhagavad Gita is the highest evidence, then this should become the standard for all of the devotees. Therefore, we have to understand the verses in their context. Have to understand the verses in their context. Because in this case, yes, it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that only one-fifth of your wealth should be used for religion, but who is saying that? It's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, yes, but who is stating that in the Srimad Bhagavatam? So who is so the person who's stating it, actually he's stating it as an evidence not to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supercharger, yes? Supercharger, yeah. So in this way, we have to understand the Shastra, and we have to avoid fundamentalism and taking the Shastra in the inappropriate, with an inappropriate understanding. If you were to take this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam and you were to separate it from its context and propagate these principles, you would actually be teaching something which is against the principles of Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada's taught us. So we have to understand the Shastra very deeply. Not only know the verses, not only know where they are, but know the context and know why they were spoken and for what purpose they were spoken. And in that way, we have to have a clear and a deep understanding of the Shastra. So many things in this case that Shukracharya is saying that we will not accept as the highest evidence and follow. Many things he's saying. Just like the next verse talks about how to get out of a promise. How you can get out of a promise. So these things are not actually the skills that the Vaishnavas cultivate. Generally, Samarama Tapa Soksham Kshantir Ajamama, a Vaishnava is honest. As much as possible. Honest. Especially in his dealings with Vaishnavas. And we don't make promises, and then Maharaj was discussing yesterday, very important when you make a promise. So these things we have to consider. Now in the purport, it's very interesting because Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he explains actually what is the proper understanding, and he does this by giving evidence. Mahajanayena gatasa panta. How does that go? There's so many arguments in the Shastra. What's that? Thakur Bibhinna. Thakur Bibhinna in the Shastra. There's so many arguments you can make based on the Shastra. You can pursue your agenda and pull together so many arguments. And therefore, you may be confused. We may be confused. So therefore, the ultimate principle of religion, Mahajanayena Gatasa Panta, is revealed by the example of the great devotees. So Prabhupada regularly, in terms of how a devotee should manage himself financially, Prabhupada doesn't quote Shastra for that topic. in general. He doesn't give Shastri verse for that. What he gives is the example of Rupa Goswami, and Prabhupada regularly gives the example. He gives it in the Rupa Deshamrita, he gives it here in this purport, he gives it in many places. That for a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he should organize himself financially, Prabhupada explains here in the purport. You can say that 50% of one's wealth should be given for the service of the Lord, 25% can be kept for personal expenditure, and 25% for family members. Now, we see in the example of Rupa Goswami how the logic and the practicality of this principle. One thing to consider is that we don't hear any description of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami entering family life. We don't hear any description. So we're assuming that they didn't enter family life, because there's no description of them ever being married and having children, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Some of our Goswamis were married, but Rupa and Sanatan, no mention of any family life. So considering that, the division of the wealth, 25% for personal expenditure, any emergency, 25% for family, who that was actually referring to, maybe extended family, but in the case that we see, that the money that Rupa Goswami kept aside for the family was subsequently used by Sanatan Goswami in his deliverance. Mahaprabhu was in Puri, and actually he was meditating on going to Vrindavan, and he tried to journey to Vrindavan on several occasions, having arrived in Puri. Actually, Mahaprabhu's initial objective was to go to Vrindavan. Upon receiving initiation in Gaya, Mahaprabhu became so overwhelmed with Krishna prema, love of Godhead, that in the middle of the night, he got up. He was staying in Gaya with his students. They had an ashram there. He was there for some period of time. He was even cooking, it describes. Because Mahaprabhu in Gaya, he cooked for Srila Ishvara Puri. So he had some residents and students with him there in Gaya. He was there for some time. And in one night, he got up in the middle of the night without informing any of the students, and he just left for Vrindavan. That day, he said to the students, he said that, "I'm no longer interested in household life. I'm not returning to Mayapur. I'm going to go to Vrindavan. You go back to Mayapur." And the students were going, well, they were trying to talk some sense into Navadeep Chandra, but he was determined. In the middle of the night, he got up and he left Gaya and began wandering in his inflamed state of love of Godhead in the direction of Vrindavan. At that time, there was a voice from the sky, an Akashvani, a voice from the sky that said, "Now, Navadeep Chandra, the Dibyamani, Vishwambar, now is not the time to go to Vrindavan. You have so much seva to do in Mayapur, and so many things." Mahaprabhu had to go, and he had to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement in the house of Sridhas Thakur. He had to give the Nityananda Prabhu, was not Nityananda, even though he's Avadhuta Shiromani, Nitai, Goshai, Avadhuta Shiromani, Harinama, Pradam Devam. Avadhuta Shiromani, he is the deity of distributing the holy name. But Nitai Goshai, he was not preaching Krishna consciousness until being ordered to by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though he's Anantashesh, Lord Balaram. What is that? He says that Brajendra Nandana Jai Shachi Shuto Hoilo She Balarama Hoilo Nitai. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, come to deliver all the conditioned souls, but he wasn't preaching Krishna consciousness. He was traveling all over India. You can read the descriptions of Nityananda Prabhu's travels through South India, Kanyakumari, Kerala,
in Vrindavan, Ganga Sagar. He went all over Himalaya. He went to Vyasadeva's cave. He would travel all over India. Just giving association, but not preaching Krishna, not preaching the Sankirtan movement. He was waiting. And then he heard that Navadeep Chandra had been initiated and had returned to Mayapur and had inaugurated the Sankirtan movement in the house of Srinivas Thakur. And at that time, Nityananda Prabhu returned to Mayapur. And after some time of relishing the Sankirtan Ras with Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva associates in the house of Srinivas Thakur, one day Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, Shuno Shuno Nityananda, Shuno Haridas, Savatra Amar Abhai, Koroho Prakash, Proti Gore Gore Gi Koro Ebikha, Vaja Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shikha. Listen, Haridas, listen, Nitai Goshai. You proclaim my order everywhere. You go to every door, every home. Proti Gore Gore Gi Koro Ebikha. And you beg the residents, Vaja Krishna, worship Krishna, Bolo Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, Koro Krishna Shikha. Follow the instructions of Krishna. And in this way, Mahaprabhu, he ordered Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Goshai to preach Krishna consciousness. That's the beginning of the systematic, organized Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan Andolana Ki. So Mahaprabhu had to do all those things. In Mayapur, he had to establish the Panchatattva. He had to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. He had to the principles. Kiva Vipra Kiva Nashi Shudra Keni Noiji Krishna Tattva Beta Sri Guru Hoy, amongst his householder associates, the principles of the Sankirtan movement and order Nidai and Haridas Thakur as the primary original preachers of the Sankirtan movement. So Mahaprabhu returned to Mayapur, but actually he was always meditating on going to Vrindavan. And then upon taking sannyas, some years later, after spending time in Mayapur and performing the Sankirtan, just like we're worshipping Nitai Gaur. We're worshipping Nitai Gaur in Mayapur, Navadeep. Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shavaye shikhani shab nadia fiche nechi goni dai. Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shavaye. We're worshipping Nitai Gaur in Navadeep Dham. Although practically speaking, if you analyze the manifest pastimes of Nitai Gaur, practically speaking, they are combined and together, not for a very extensive time. Nityananda Prabhu was already in his 30s when he arrived in Mayapur. Already in his 30s. He's almost 9 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then they were only in Mayapur together for a short period of time, until Mahaprabhu returning from Gaya and then till his sannyas. A short period of time, but this is the ultimate manifestation of Gauranitai Kripa. And the Paramakuruna, when we sang the song, Paramakuruna, Bahudijana Nitai Gaura Chandra. Parana, this is the ultimate manifestation of their mercy as they're preaching in Mayapur. And so, Mahaprabhu, after some time in householder pastimes, the Sankirtan pastimes in Navadeep, he took sannyas. And at that time also his intention was to go to Vrindavan. His intention was to go to Vrindavan. He left and Keshav Bharati was following him. They were wandering through the Radha Desh. And Nityananda Prabhu tricked him. When the cowherd boys, he told the cowherd boys, when the wandering mendicant who's 7 feet tall, who has a form like the rising sun, a brilliant Gauranga, the shining limbs, when he comes and constantly you'll hear him chanting the name of Hari, when he asks you where is the direction of Jamuna, you point him to the Ganga. The cowherd boys said, Haji. And so Mahaprabhu is wandering through the Radha and he sees the cowherd boys and he says, where is Jamuna? Where is Vrindavan? And I said, Ekane. Edik. The Bengalis. Edik Ache. Edik Jan. Ekane Ache. It's here. The Ganga, the Jamuna is here. It was the Ganga. Mahaprabhu immediately seeing what he thought to be the Jamuna, he ran, he jumped in praying prayers and glorification. And he's floating down the Jamuna in ecstasy and he sees Advaita Acharya on the bank. Advaita Goshai. You also come to Vrindavan. And Advaita Thakur says, well, yes,
Prabhu.
Yes, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. But actually, now you are situated in Shantipur. Mahaprabhu was somewhat angry. Nityananda Prabhu has cheated me. And Advaita Thakur explained, no cheating going on here, because actually at this place, the Saraswati is also flowing on the west side of the Ganga. The Jamuna is also flowing. So then after the pastimes in the Shantipur, where all the devotees came from Mayapur, Mahaprabhu left. Sannyas? Huh? That's another story we can narrate one day. But all the devotees were completely, they were completely devastated. No point. Karuna na huile kandiya prana na raki bo ahara. Karuna na huile, without the mercy. Kandiya prana na raki bo. No point in living. Prana na raki bo. No point in living. After Mahaprabhu sannyas. So they couldn't accept this. So Nityananda Prabhu arranged, at least we spend some time in Shantipur, all the devotees can come, we can spend some time with you. You don't just leave like that without any notice, without allowing us to prepare. So Mahaprabhu remained in Shantipur. Everyone from Mayapur came, all the devotees, except one. All the devotees from Mayapur came to Shantipur, except one devotee. And she was not allowed. But Sachimata came, and Mahaprabhu was embracing Sachimata, and he was crying, and she was caressing his cleanly shaven head, and her tears were bathing his cleanly shaven head. He was very intimately kneeling with Sachimata. And then Mahaprabhu said to the devotees, he said, what have I done? Out of some moment of inspiration, I've accepted this sannyas order. Of course, we know Mahaprabhu's sannyas was for our mercy. Because if he remained a householder in Mayapur, how he would have been able to travel in South India to retrieve Ramananda Roy, to travel to the different great Vaishnav centers like Trilingam, and discuss with the acharyas and establish the Gaudiya Siddhanta in Srirangam with Balabhacharya, establish the superiority of Radha Krishna worship, and travel and preach and spread inundate South India with Krishna consciousness. He can't do that if he's leaving the family in Mayapur. He can't do that. Not like nowadays, our preachers can go for a few days and then come back on Indigo or Jet. But in those days, Mahaprabhu was walking. So he had to give up family life. He had to give up. Otherwise, how could he have spread Krishna consciousness all over India? And so the devotees, Mahaprabhu said, for some reason I have accepted this sannyas order, but you please make an arrangement. He said that I can maintain my sannyas vows, and at the same time I can continue to have your association. My dear devotees. As Maharaj quoted yesterday, Sadhava Ridayo Mayam Sadhanam Ridayam Taham Madanya Te Najanati Naham Tebyo Manadapi. It's quoted in Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter. Naham Tebyo Madanya Te Najanati. Besides me, Madanya Te Najanati. They are not interested in anything else. Madanya Te Najanati. They are not interested in anything else apart from me. Naham Tebyo Manadapi. And I am not interested in anything else apart from them. This is the relationship that Krishna enjoys with his devotees. The relationship is very deep. And Krishna is attached to his devotees. Mahaprabhu, he said to you make some arrangement. So it was decided that Mahaprabhu can reside in Jagannath Puri. Ek bari dui gor. Oriya goriya. Oriya goriya. Bengal and Orissa, like two rooms in one house. And in that way, so many devotees from Mayapur, they'll visit Jagannath Puri, and so many Oriya devotees will visit Mayapur. And this way, Sachimata was explaining, I'll regularly get news of my mind, and that way I will be able to sustain my life. So Mahaprabhu, he agreed and went to Puri, journeyed to Puri, and resided in Puri, but still in Puri. Mahaprabhu was always looking for the opportunity to go to Vrindavan, and on several occasions he was requesting the Bhattacharya and requesting Ramananda Roy, please give me your permission, Swarup Damodar, please give me your permission. I want to journey to Vrindavan and take shelter of Nanda Dulal. And they were saying, well, now is the rainy season, so not a good time to travel, better you wait. And then he would again request. And then they would say, well, now is coming up the Dol Yatra, you better stay in Puri for the festival, and then after that. And in this way, again and again, they were giving excuses for more than 2 years. And eventually, out of frustration, Mahaprabhu said, please, you have to let me go. And they agreed on the Vijay Dashami. But what was interesting, after all this build-up of Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, finally he gets permission from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy. But practically speaking, he doesn't go to Vrindavan. If you look on the map, from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan, you have to go northwest. Subsequently, Mahaprabhu did go in that path. He went through the Jarikan forest when he went to Vrindavan from Puri. But on this occasion, when he was given the permission, he actually didn't go to Vrindavan, he went north. And he explained to the devotees that I want to return to Mayapur because there I have two shelters in Mayapur that I'm very attached to. What were they? One, Sachi Mata, and two, Ganga Mata. So Mahaprabhu took the opportunity to travel from Puri back to his Ganga Sagar, and he traveled all the way up the Ganga, every day bathing in the Ganga, drinking the waters of the Ganga, and camping on the bank of the Ganga, and preaching Krishna consciousness. He traveled through Mayapur. He didn't go back to Mayapur. After taking sannyas, Mahaprabhu never returned to Mayapur. To Sachinangan. He never returned. He went on the other side of the Ganga. He went through Vidyanagar and Koladeep. He didn't go to Mayapur. He went to another deep, but not Mayapur. And all of the people in Mayapur who had blasphemed, all of the smartest who blasphemed Navadeep Chandra when he was performing the Sankirtan, they all had realized after he took sannyas and began the Sankirtan mission that actually he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we offended him. So all of those offenders came to Koladeep. And Mahaprabhu delivered the offenders, Devananda, Pandit, etc. And then Mahaprabhu carried on, and he reached Ramkeli. Still he wasn't practically going to Vrindavan, and everyone was asking, well, what's he doing in Ramkeli? This is the headquarters of the Mughal rule. What's he doing here? And Mahaprabhu began doing Sankirtan just beside the palace of the Nawab. And such Sankirtan Mahaprabhu was doing, it had never been witnessed before in the history of the universe. Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan is describing that, Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that Mahaprabhu's calling out of the holy name could be heard by travelers for 2 or 3 miles away. Mahaprabhu's chanting. So this huge Sankirtan party attracted the attention of the Nawab, and the Nawab sent his superintendent of the police to give a report. And the superintendent came back and he said, there's a huge crowd, there's tens of thousands of people there. He said, I've seen so many mendicants, so many sadhus in my life, but never have I seen a mendicant like this. He's like a prince dressed as a mendicant. He's like a prince dressed as a mendicant. And his beauty is incomparable. His face is like a rising million moons. And his eyes are like lotus petals. And his eyebrows are like the upturned bow of Cupid. And his lips are red like coral. And his teeth are brilliant like white pearls. His neck is like that of a ferocious lion. His chest is like that of of an elephant. And he weighs around his slender waist is a beautiful golden shining cloth. And his feet are soft reddish like lotus petals. And he said the most astonishing thing about this mendicant is that in every hour he falls to the ground in complete ecstasy at least 100 times. So you can do the mathematical equation and work out every minute. That's more than that. 100 times in an hour means 60 minutes. So that means more. In every minute, he's falling down more than once. Falling down, getting up. This is Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan style. Completely absorbed in prema. And just hearing the description, the Nawab's heart changed. This same Nawab that had destroyed so many temples in Orissa, and actually the same Nawab that was there and condoned the punishment of Haridas Thakur, same Nawab, just hearing the description of Mahaprabhu's form and his Sankirtan pastimes, it changed the heart of the Nawab. And he said, I declare, my decree, you let this mendicant wander wherever he wants. He said, actually, I consider him to be the supreme person. He which the Hindus call Bhagwan, which the Muslims call Khuda, he has now come to our village of Ramkeli. And just see, the Nawab said that I have a huge staff, and if I neglect to pay them just for a few days, immediately they will pack up and go. But this person, he said, this person is surrounded by tens of thousands of followers who have completely given them their whole lives to his service, and they're not taking any payment. This is actually the style of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You give your life and you don't take anything in return. And Krishna will provide everything. So in this way, he said, he can go anywhere, he can do what he likes. But actually, the ultimate purpose of Mahaprabhu visiting Ramkeli was to connect with Rupa and Sanatan, who had become the ministers of the Nawab. And because of their expertise in management and administration, he had induced them to become his prime minister and his finance minister. And Mahaprabhu met with them and spoke with them. And at that time they were ready to join Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu gave the instructions that just like a wife that has a relationship with another man, she's always meditating on the paramour, but she's very, very dutiful in the household duties so that no one expects her deviation. In this way, Mahaprabhu recommended they carry on, and in due course of time they'll be delivered. And upon being delivered, Rupa Goswami, there's somebody ringing that, is there? They're there with the, like, in Mayapur we have a bell just established on the new temple. When you come and visit, you can hear every hour. It's very loud. You can hear it throughout the whole of the district, the whole of the village. So upon receiving those instructions from Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, he began to make his arrangements and began to extricate himself from the government service. And at that time, he demonstrated this example of dividing his wealth 50% amongst 25% for the emergency, 25% for the family, and 50% for the service of the Lord. And subsequently, when Sanatan Goswami also extricated himself from the service and of the Nawab, then he was able to use that money that Rupa Goswami had kept in reserve, use that to bribe the jail keeper, and in this way both Rupa and Sanatan were able to extricate themselves from the service of the Nawab and join Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And Mahaprabhu respectively instructed them in Allahabad and Varanasi, and in that way they were empowered to write the Bhakti Shastras and remain in Vrindavan and perform the great service for humanity that they performed. Grantraj Shmabhagavatam Ki. Are there any questions? Yes.
as you were mentioning that this shloka also speaks about division of wealth for householders. But you have to be careful that it's spoken by Shukracharya. At the same time, we hear also that Sanatana Goswami mentions that in every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with Krishna, every word is, every syllable is filled with Krishna. So, how do we can say?
Well, because just the example that we saw with Srila Prabhupada here, and Prabhupada reads the verse and he talks about Krishna consciousness, he talks about the Sankirtan movement, he talks about the most intimate servants and generals of Mahaprabhu's army. So in that way we see Krishna, prema and love of God in every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Another question.
Thank you very much, Prabhupada, for the wonderful class. One thing, Prabhupada mentions here that about 50% given to worshipping Krishna. So, generally, many times I have also come across, even devotees feel that that is not very practical. And they have their own standards of how much financially they give to Krishna. So then how we practically see that?
Well, because this is, as Prabhupada explains here, he says in the paper, he says, Sri Rupa Goswami taught us by his own example, by using, so this is an example. This is not exactly described as a principle. It's an example. And then, you can see the difference? Principle is something non-negotiation. But this particular point is not put in that category. It's an example. It's like an example upon which we can follow. Not necessarily a principle that you have to sign off on, and it's not enforced as other principles in Krishna consciousness are. Because as I mentioned, the evidence is the example. It's not something that's repeatedly mentioned and enforced. And therefore, Prabhupada concludes at the end by explaining regarding how much for the family, Prabhupada says that because one's family members expect some profit, one should also satisfy them by giving a portion. You see? So it's different. If it was something that there's no negotiation, then again Prabhupada would have said, by giving 50-25%. But it's not like that. It's a portion. So the example should be followed. And one should ensure that all of these different responsibilities are addressed. But that may differ in different cases according to circumstances. It's not a prime aspect of our practice. It's not mentioned in the 64 items of sadhana bhakti, which directly awaken bhakti, the Rupa Goswami gives. So these are the things that are important that have to be followed, and the other things that can be done according to situation, according to the individual's capacity. Thank you. Construction by Bhagavatam ki jai Shri Prabhupada.